Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Ann Hirsch.
That's okay.
And our guest is Lou Theodore, who is a basketball enthusiast, more than I realized, an author of 100-plus books, and Danny Doyle's partner. Right? Is that it?
That's one way to put it.
And you actually, when we went to the break, you were starting to talk about how you wound up with the bar and then getting in towards basketball.
We got the owner. It was Colleen's Tavern, and it was a bar team. And one would ordinarily think that, a bar team, what could it be? But my ball players wound up playing in the pros, coaching in the pros, coaching at the college. Yeah, in fact, the guy we mentioned, Doyle, played for the Pistons for 2 years and played with Connie Hawkins. I don't know if you saw the headlines.
No, the Pistons, I've heard.
He just passed away.
Oh, really? Okay.
One of the stars. But anyway, we got the team going, and I was the coach, and that became an extremely big part of my life.
Wow.
And we get together every year. First week in January for the football playoffs, and that's where the author Ron Rowell comes every year. My wife used to be about 35 people. Now we're down to about 15. We're getting thinned out. You know, I'm not going to say we're dropping like flies, but at my age, we've lost a few dear friends. But so I've been involved with basketball, yeah. And I had Jack Powers, who was executive director of the NIT, had suggested I get involved with Hofstra. I went there. They welcomed me, and I cover their games. I do a couple of articles a year on that.
Okay,
plug like I was plugging now.
Right, no, which is fine.
Yeah.
You don't realize where something comes from. Christina and I talk about it all the time, golden nuggets. This Hofstra thing, I think, is huge. I had no idea that you could actually see a game at that price.
Oh,
and you're right, you have the winter. What's to do? It's easy enough to go online and look up a schedule. See, there's a basketball game tonight or this afternoon. You take the grandkids. They're experiencing basketball without going into the Knicks and spending a fortune and trying to drive into Manhattan.
Like I said, easy park. If you've got a pass, a handicap pass, you're probably 30 or 40 feet away.
Right.
Walk in.
You know, we're very, very blessed here on Long Island in general in that there are so many activities which make it accessible for us to get to without making it exorbitant in fees to do the amount of things that we can do. You're a phenomenal role model for everyone, irregardless of the fact that you've spread yourself out very, very thin, but in different areas, and you are doing so many things, but you keep on going. You don't let anything stand in your way. And that, for many of us, is something that we all need to have that kind of example to see that you don't have to stay in. You don't have to let an illness or a disability stand in your way. You keep going and you keep it. And that's fabulous.
I keep myself busy, and I think seniors, there's more than just volunteer work at a fire department, a police department, a library, or what have you. There are things that you can do that can bring more meaning to your life, I believe. And, excuse me, in fact, I just mentioned that one of the things a senior ought to consider doing is writing an autobiography. And I just realized I'm in the middle of doing a family tree.
Okay.
And it's really exciting doing this, digging back, trying to find out who did what to who in Greece 150 years ago. It's really interesting. And it's not that tough. I got a prologue writing about Greece, the islands, and stuff like that. And then I get into my family, my wife's family, and she's from Ireland. In fact, we were scheduled to go to Ireland for her family's reunion, but I fractured a vertebrae and she fractured a femur. So the worst of summers for us. But that's another thing. A family, right? You need a reason to roll out of bed in the morning, uh-huh. and I think that's basically what you're saying.
Now, also within your professional experience as far as engineering, have you come across any discrimination or means where they're not compensating you for the kinds of professional things that you do?
Discriminating against me?
Because of age.
Oh, it's kind of interesting. When I left Manhattan, I was at Manhattan for 50 years. And when I was there, I brought a number two ranking to the program. Where the hell? U.S. News and World Report. And when I left, I said to myself, you know, I can go anywhere I want. I rolled over to Hofstra, and they were just expanding their engineering school and opening up a medical school. And I said, listen, I got a great idea doing a book on the interactions between engineering and medicine and get your faculty involved. It helped legitimize the program. They didn't want to know me.
Really?
I said, okay, fine. I went to a couple other places. They wanted me to do some adjunct teaching, and I said, yeah, I've done that. So I reverted back to just writing books, which has kept me very active and very happy. So in that sense, maybe. But
you see,
and I'm lucky.
The important thing, not to interrupt, but the important thing to take from that is if there is even some discrimination, that didn't stop you.
No.
You turned around and said, okay, if this is what it's going to be, I'm going to do something else. I personally am going to be active. I'm going to take control of my own future and not sit here and say, oh, damn it, those people aren't giving me what I'm worth.
Yeah.
I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah, I often meet with young kids who are going to college, and I think the guidance counselors don't provide them with the right information. I served on the admission committee when I was on at Manhattan. I've got a pretty good feel of what to do, and I try to advise them. And it's a freebie.
Right, but, okay, a pro bono type thing.
Yeah, pro bono. I think that's important, too. But another thing to keep me occupied. But the big thing in terms of my professional activities, we talked briefly right during the intermission, has been in the environmental field.
Okay.
And I've been very proud of the activities I've been involved with over the years. As I said, I probably gave 200 to 250 courses to state, local, federal officials. You got to remember, in 1970, there wasn't very much about the environment at that point in time.
Right, of
and
course.
Then EPA got formed. Much to my surprise, Richard Nixon formed EPA, and was a big thing. And over the years, and today, our air is cleaner than it's ever been. The water's cleaner than it's ever been. The land's been cleaner. But environment's been a big thing, and that's another thing that seniors could get involved with. They could write letters to the local newspaper,
right.
Which I do.
The knowledge that they have and how they can. And the point is, whatever that Nike commercial is, just do it. They have to just do it. You can sit home and say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to write the letter. Tomorrow I'm going to, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book. You're 100 plus books later. You're doing it.
Yeah.
And that's what people have to do. Because the book doesn't have to be good. And I'm not getting into your
books.
No,
but
just do it. And you have your 100 pages bound and say, this is, and if you don't even bind it. You did your autobiography. It's a wonderful thing for your grandkids someday to know, like you're talking about, from Astoria to from a story from Hell's Kitchen to Astoria to East Williston.
108th Street in Rockaway for the old timers. That was
I know.
The mecca of basketball. Oh my God!
Oh, really?
During the summer months. Oh, 108th Street. There was just a hoop. One lousy hoop had a quarter of a court, and the greatest basketball players of that time used to go down there and play during the summer months.
Wow.
It's in the book. Other people, I'm sure, have done a better job, but I've written that up.
No, I used to go down 108th Street for the beach. Yeah. Never played basketball.
Do you remember the bars there?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. You remember all the windows and the clams and everything. It was just...
Well, yeah. It was Fitzgerald's. Was on 108th Street, Fitzgerald's was right on the facing the bar. And then one block in was McGuire's. And that was Al McGuire, Dick McGuire of basketball fame. There's a lot of history in there. A lot of that was covered in the earlier article.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's, yeah, people, autobiographies, yeah. I think, are good. I'm going down next, this Tuesday, I'm going down to see if I was his best man. He was a baseball umpire, teamster. He was a truck driver. And never graduated from high school. And I've got him started on trying to write an autobiography.
Okay.
And it's not, well, if you read if you go to my newsletter, okay, about a year and a half ago, I detail how to go about writing one of these things. It's not that difficult. If we had more time, I'd take you step by step.
Right. Well, you actually come back for that. Because, I mean, I think, we have a veterans program here that we try to get the veterans to come on, and that's to tape their story, which is, obviously an autobiography is much longer, much deeper, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're really telling your story. So, you know, chronologically, you're just going to go back to when you were youth, your high school years, your college, and if you didn't go to college, that's fine, too. You know, if you were in the war, if you were here and there, it's... Yeah.
I talk about getting beat up when I was in Hell's Kitchen. Gangs were big then.
Okay.
And knives as opposed to guns today. And it was a different lifestyle.
Yeah, but it was still rough. Hell's Kitchen, I don't think it was the nicest place to be.
Oh, it was a tough neighborhood.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, again, I'm only talking from what you read about Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, it was a tough neighborhood. A story was great. It was a different lifestyle. Oh, we're coming. The bell's going to sound shortly.
Yeah, like the boxing ring, versus the football or the basketball, rather. Yeah. No, I agree. And actually, that's something I think would be a wonderful show that, I know it can't happen tomorrow, but to do how people can go through doing an autobiography. It's a simple thing. You could do it at home, and all you're doing it is for yourself. And then you've created something to give to your grandchildren. You don't have to. Yours is published.
You don't have to
publish it.
You go to Amazon. You just give them the stuff. They make it beautiful.
That's another show. We've been talking with Lou Theodore here today, who is just a wonderful, wonderful guest. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.